What is up, BHB family? This is Coach Coop, and I'm here with Simone Sindri and James Roff. Simone is a registered dietitian, and James is a holistic health practitioner from the House of Holistic Health in Cape Town, South Africa. That's right, I'm here with a couple out-of-towners tonight. Simone and James are brilliant in what they do. For those of you who are not familiar with integrative health, it basically pertains to barking up every relevant tree when it comes to optimizing your health, well-being, and fitness. And it's also about how all these things relate to each other to ultimately culminate in whatever health status, performance, fitness level that you see in front of you, right? So I'll give you an example. Instead of just focusing on your training or just focusing on your diet, you also need to look at your gut health. You need to look at your light exposure, like, for example, how much sunlight you're getting, minimizing your blue light exposure, optimizing your sleep, stress management. All these things ultimately relate, and the other side of that equation is you and where you're at, your physique, your fitness level, how you're feeling, your energy level. That's the culmination of this interrelation of all these things. And tonight, James and Simone are going to unpack that a bit. They're going to talk a bit about genetics, how to personalize your health and nutrition based on your genetics. They're going to talk about functional health, nutrition, exogenous ketones, how to use exogenous ketones for endurance and in the gym or whatever activity you're doing, and a whole lot more. So these guys are awesome. I honestly learned a ton myself, and I can't wait to have them on again. As always, guys, this episode is brought to you by Real Ketones. Real Ketones are the pioneers in the exogenous ketone space, and they not only have a top line of exogenous ketones, but they also feature a full education suite with apps, plans, guides, tools, webinars, and everything you guys need to get from where you're at now to where you need to be going goal-wise. So be sure to check them out, realketones.com. Without further ado, we have James and Simone. Good evening, everyone. This is Coach Matt, and you are listening to Better Health and Body Radio, your source for the latest and greatest information and understanding in the world of health, nutrition, and performance, where we give you a seat at the table next to the best and the brightest minds to arm you with the information you need to optimize yourself. Join us for another exciting, thought-provoking episode of BHB Radio, starting now. All right, James, Simone, thank you guys so much for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Matt. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Matt. It's great to be with you.
Of course. I mean, I love connecting with people all over the world to talk about, to nerd out on health, fitness, performance concepts. So it's exciting to be connecting with you guys all the way out there in South Africa. And I guess technically the Dominican Republic for James for the time being, right?
Yeah, I'm halfway between you guys. Almost exactly halfway.
That's funny. So for people at home who are listening who might not be familiar with your guys' work, you guys want to one by one, maybe we'll start with Simone, go into how you got into doing what you're doing and what you guys do now?
Sure. So I'm a registered dietitian. I don't know if in the US you call us registered, but it's the fancy name for a dietitian in South Africa.
Oh, we do.
Okay, great. At the moment, it's very interesting. What we're doing is we are working with genetics testing in a multidisciplinary team, mainly genetics testing, but other things too. And it's a really, really exciting, I don't know how familiar you are with the field, Matt, but it's a really exciting field to be in. So James and I join forces in that field. And yeah, are you familiar with it at all?
Yeah, actually, I used to work alongside another friend of mine, and we were doing like nutrition and health recommendations based on a number of factors, including people's individualized genetics in the addiction and rehab, not fit like training rehab, but the alcoholism kind of rehab community too. So I have worked in the health community in a lot of different fields, including that one. Actually, this is probably going on like 5 years ago now.
Incredible. I actually hadn't heard of it in that field. Had you, James?
Yeah, I mean, Matt, you'd be looking at all the dopamine receptor genes, and
yeah,
we've got DRT2, I've worked with a DNA panel called DNA Mind, which is really interesting. It looks at addictive behaviors, compulsive behaviors, mood balance, and neurodegenerative conditions. It's something that we do use sometimes, but what Simone and I are doing is casting the net extremely wide and looking at genetic variants across multiple systems, cellular pathways, systems pathways, cardiovascular health pathways, performance pathways, nutrition and specific nutrient pathways, and energy, cellular energy derivation pathways. And then, we can also look at pharmacogenomics, and we can look at mind genes that involve some of the conditions you mentioned, addiction and compulsive behaviors. And then we look at performance genetics as well. So that I think essentially what we share there is, Matt, is that we're interested in the biochemical uniqueness of every patient or client or athlete we work with. And providing advice can be so much more precise if we understand how they differ at the subtlety or the level of genetic level. And then our intervention and our work, Simona's dietitian and neuroscientists and support for me and my work in a very broad integrative manner, is making tiny adjustments across all the levels of lifestyle, extrinsic and intrinsic, that can trigger the healthiest expression of your genome and avoid disease, stay healthy, or perform at new levels of excellence. And so pushing the envelope and finding what tools we have available to work on all the different epigenetic levels that provide some leverage over gene expression is what led us to optimizing diet for individuals. See that there are many people that we're testing who just don't tolerate carbohydrates well, and who have perhaps been leading a low fat diet and running themselves into trouble. And then low carb, high quality fat diets led several years ago to the discovery of the value of a ketogenic life. And obviously the ace up your sleeve of exogenous ketones. So that's where we find ourselves today.
Yeah, that's awesome. And yeah, what's funny about you saying that is that when his name is Ryan and myself, when we were doing this and he was doing it for quite a bit longer in his own practice across a spectrum of people, from everyday people being the main bell curve there, all the way to athletes and things like that. He did find that, regardless of, well, I guess I should say, there are certain things that are kind of ubiquitous in terms of things that can help us, right? One of those things being sunlight, right? And another one, just to give you one example, and another one being ketones, in terms of finding things that you can kind of throw like one drop in the bucket, and then, it'll help everybody regardless of genetic individuality. So that's interesting. I didn't know that you guys were you guys had your hands there too. And now, James, you've got quite an interesting background yourself. It's very polymathematic, in the meaning it spans multiple disciplines, and it goes all the way from the, fitness and performance realm all the way to the health and wellness realm. How did you get into doing what you're doing?
I elected not to have a family. So, I just looked up after 25 years of clinical work and research and intrigue and learning and realized I'd missed that boat. But
he has a dog. Was,
yeah, you have a dog. I have a Chihuahua. He's well, very low maintenance.
That's a family member. There you go. That's like me. I got my little dog over here.
Just out of interest, he eats nothing out of the ground. He eats purely animal product, like a good carnivore should. And so he's fully in ketosis his whole life. He's 18. It's a dog. It's pretty good going.
But, I was going to say that's a pretty nice ride there.
My journey started as an athlete. I was a gymnast, competitive gymnast my whole life. And then I moved into competitive surfing, kind of overlapped as a child, and then racing mountain bikes and started playing golf. And I think anything movement related has always intrigued me. And when it came time to go to college and start studying at university, I moved into health sciences and natural medicine, physiology, biomechanics. I've just studied a lot of, I have several postgraduate qualifications and master's degree, and then advanced studies in translational genomics and integrative medicine. So I think what's happened is that there is a demand, there's a need out there in the public. And when I say the public, of course I have a lot of patients in South Africa, but for the last decade, at least half my patients I've never met, and they live all over the world. So there seems to be a global demand for a better solution to optimal health and avoiding the pitfalls of chronic disease that are so ubiquitous on this planet. And the solution to that is about lifestyle optimization, and it's not about medicine. So we're looking at the patterns of sleep and relaxation, of exercise and movement, of diet and hydration, of stress management, and of social factors. And none of that is medicine, but it requires supervision, and it requires care to create a strategy to actually make a difference in terms of outcomes and biomarker measurements, and therefore actual health, real health and performance. So that's just what I've gravitated towards. I mean, in 25 years of clinical work, seeing patients, that's what I do, and athletes, clients, if you call them, I've retained the tools that work and dropped the ones that don't.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's like you're building your quilt little by little, spanning different disciplines and, you know, really creating an integrative system, I think.
Bearing in mind that what tools are required are going to vary based on who is presenting in front of you. So you need multiple tools because you know that you're going to meet people who vary in their biochemistry and in their patterns and in their current challenges and in their performance goals.
Right. And at the end of the day, what we're all doing collectively is, you know, you have to adapt to meet someone at their level, wherever they're at, whether they're an everyday person who just wants to feel better, look better, maybe function a little better, have a higher level of fitness, all the way to, you know, an athlete, right, who's looking at you, is just a different higher level rung up the ladder, right? And so I think that learning all these different things can help us adapt and help people, help take people where they want to go, regardless of where that is, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And speaking of that, so Simone, you're as a registered dietitian, who is working and actively seeing people and doing your own research with regards to ketosis, the ketogenic diet, and diets in the low carb, high fat community, what are you most excited about in that whole field?
I think the thing that excites me the most is that classically the ketogenic diet evolved or started from treatment of epilepsy, specifically in children, and then moved to different areas of treatment for specific conditions like diabetes, neurological disease such as Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, different types of cancers, polycystic ovarian syndrome, etc. And then I think the whole let's say nutrition scientific world started realizing, hey, this is there's something to this. It's obviously got so much power, and so it's just really exciting for me how this evolution has happened very recently, and how the ketogenic diet can actually help people that aren't sick too, and people that just want to be healthier, and has healing powers that, for lack of a better word, are powerful, and that's really exciting, and I find that very exciting within the world of nutrition and health in general, is that how things are always changing and evolving, and to go from dietitians prescribing let's say 10 slices of bread and the equivalent of carb content a day to this world is drastic and amazing. So it's really cool to be watching this, and since university this has all changed, which is once again the most exciting thing for me.
Yeah, it is interesting and great to see how it's spreading across the mainstream. And I think we talked earlier, there's early adopters and in various parts of the world, right? So it's like kind of like what is old is new again, and coming around with new understanding, and in that understanding and that wave cresting, we can help a lot more people across all mediums, right? And what do they say? Like a rising tide lifts all boats. It's like more people having access to this information means more people in the medical field can help people, more people in the fitness field can help people, more people in the athletic realm can help people. So I do definitely think there's something in it for everybody.
Definitely. And another very exciting and such visual thing for us is the way that all of our patients react to changing to a low carb diet. It's incredible because you directly, as a clinician, you directly see the benefits and pretty quickly, which is very rewarding, and a lot of medicine or other let's say superfoods can't do.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, it is interesting how it is kind of a superfood diet in a way, in the sense that you think of the diet like a superfood because there are so many different benefits to it. And I kind of think of ketones, exogenous ketones, as the superfood of supplements, because there are a myriad of benefits from the performance field all the way to health, all the way to, you know, body composition. Yeah, you know, I don't know necessarily how the health and wellness care system is in South Africa. So, you know, I don't want to speak on that. But I know in America, I was just talking about this with a friend of mine. It's like a lot of, obviously the doctors, nurses themselves are great. They're well to do and everything. But just the business of healthcare, it's like hospitals here are just sort of like a reservoir for stress, from the artificial lighting all the way to the inflammatory foods. You know, most of them Franken foods that you wouldn't feed anyone if they were actually trying to get better. So I think part of this whole starting to be a more widespread adoption with these ancestral type diets, more nutrient dense diets, healthier diets, is you know, the biggest potential to help the most people is in the medical field. And then I also just think what's also cool is your everyday person right now, who just wants to simply try it, is starting to have access to the right information to then better themselves and better their own life, you know? So on that note, James, I wanted to ask you, because your expertise, your research spans so many different disciplines, What's something maybe in the performance and fitness athletic realm that you're most excited about for the ketogenic diet and exogenous ketones? And then what is something, the same question, but more in like the general health wellness community?
Well, when it comes to performance and health, you know, there are so many case studies and so many studies underway, so many group studies underway to look at the benefits. But out of the performance area, it's a no-brainer that the longer your event or your activity is or your sport, the more you're going to need to rely on something that is not carbohydrate, which provides a quick, fast fuel with a lot of damage to the cells in the metabolism of carbohydrates. The glycooxidative stress associated with carbohydrate metabolism is high. When you start pushing distance and you're looking at endurance athletes and mega endurance athletes, multi-stage events where you got to keep going. I mean, the Tour de France is the most extreme example I can think of like that. And then even the guys that are doing more extreme things, you know, like month-long trekking and what have you. What I've noticed and had experience with is that you cannot fuel on carbohydrates for those durations of time, and that the cleaner burning quality fats and the tolerance of fats and palatability of fat-based foods, and therefore the production of ketones and the use of exogenous ketones is just suited to something that is endurance-based. When we look at not the randomized controlled trials or the published literature, but you look at what you alluded to earlier, the fact that living in a state of hunger with little food, hypercaloric, and most certainly zero grain or very little carbohydrate-based diet is something that has been a natural experiment going on this planet for hundreds of thousands of years. So although we don't have all the data and we don't know all the answers to this, it just seems like the history is in our favor. The history of humankind is in our favor. And utilizing and tweaking and working fine tuning ways that we can work with high performance athletes in endurance is something super exciting when it comes to fat-based diets, and therefore the natural production of endogenous ketones and the use of exogenous ketones is just a no-brainer. I think most of you guys know that something like the Tour de France, you know, it's not talked about, it's difficult to get information out of the teams, there's a lot of proprietary information, a lot of experimentation and money going on, but I don't think there's anyone who's fueling on carbohydrates on a tour like the Tour de France or those long cycle tours anymore. I've had some personal experience in mega endurance events and watched some athletes use fats over a month long race in Antarctica. And the fats that they'd actually prepared went rancid. And a team from, maybe I shouldn't say any more details about who they were, but it was a trio of Scandinavian athletes that had pushed themselves really hard, and they ran out of their normal fat fueling, and they were supplied some carbohydrate based freeze-dried food, and within about 3 days one was hallucinating, the other one was so depressed that he was ready to pull out of the race. Wow. I saw a shift in their metabolism and in their mood in the space of 3 days, and fortunately they were able to be supplied with a higher fat mega caloric fuel supply for the remainder of their race, and they just got straight back on track. And we talked about it afterwards, and it was quite amazing, quite surprising. I mean, the one athlete actually had full on visual hallucinations, stomach upsets, and the other was ready to be pulled out of the race. He was feeling so down.
Wow.
I'd say the challenge is to not convinced, but find data and find better ways of working with power and speed athletes, where the generation of fuel at the muscle level is more creatine phosphate based, phosphagen systems and anaerobic stuff, And then we're thinking like, well, can they be using a lower carb, higher fat, ketogenic lifestyle to be able to produce the right kind of body composition, maintain immune function and inflammatory markers down, keep neurological health and things like that, and still get the performance they need in short distance events, you know, like sprinters and power athletes. So there's a bit of a question, but I know that there's some research done and there are quite a few researchers in the US that have got some interesting things to say about that. You must have come across those sources of literature. When it comes to healthcare, I'd say I'd echo what Simon said. You know, anything cardiometabolic, so much of the metabolic disease and cardiac disease, its root is lifestyle patterns that are mismatched for human genetics. And we're all different, yes, but that sort of no-brainer is, if you drop the total grain and carbohydrate content, the liver gets happier, the nervous system gets happier, the brain gets happier. And the results are powerful. And there is no cardiologist, diabetic expert, or neurosurgeon, neurologist who can deny that that this is a valuable application. If we don't use one dietary lever and we look at exercise and we look at other things, it becomes very powerful. I mean, the Bredesen protocol of Dr. Dale Bredesen for Alzheimer's disease is lifestyle based. It's not medical. And what you were alluding to, the hospitals are full of the wrong kind of people. They should be reserved for people with acute infectious disease and complications and accidents and surgeries and aging stuff. And the chronic disease that's filling up the wards ought to be being addressed through lifestyle intervention, which is extremely powerful. And that's perhaps a tide that is turning. I mean, podcasts like this, massive amounts of literature, discussion, and media is all evidence of that.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Very well said. Sorry, Simone, were you going to jump in on that?
Yeah, just from my experience working in South African hospitals, it can be quite shocking that the healthcare system is, even though in South Africa, I think it's probably equivalent the burden on the healthcare system that chronic diseases have, and how there's so little focus on lifestyle or not even mention of it, and patients are allowed chips and cookies next to their bed when after a heart attack. It really hopefully will be a movement that ripples to the healthcare system and the hospitals in South Africa, specifically in a time of a pandemic where the healthcare system can't, like James says, needs to prioritize other infectious diseases and violence related things and all of those. So yeah, I just wanted to mirror that.
Yeah, very well said as well. Like, I like what James said about how, you know, Western medicine and it sounds like it's that concept has spread to South Africa and perhaps other places as well. It's great at what it was intended to be great at, and it's not so great at what it's not meant to be great at, right? And so it's like you hire your plumber to fix the toilet, and he's great at that, but then you're asking him like, hey, while you're here, could you rewire my some of these electrical outlets? And it's sort of like we're asking doctors who specialize and professionals who specialize in acute care to then specialize in issues that are related to chronic care, or what I would call wellness care. And part of our, at least unique to the US problem there is that, and there's a book you can read on this called Rockefeller Medicine Men, is how, you know, back in the day, a lot of the sort of like the big money bureaucrats, like the Rockefellers, they wound up sinking a bunch of money into allopathic medicine when you used to have the choice to use both of them. And they're both great, allopathic and preventative, when you would need each, right? So you just, you know, case by case, when you would need one, you'd use it. When you need the other, you use that. So what they did was they sunk a bunch of money behind allopathic care, seeing that it was, for them at least, a better subscription-based business model to try to cover everything. And they wound up financing a lot of the early medical schools, and they wound up coming up with the word quack, which was then you know, marketed to describe those, anybody not practicing their model, right? Instead of like what would be the idealistic one, which would be, hey, this one's great, and this one to keep us well is and fitting well is great for what it's meant for too. And so because of that, here we have a little bit more of a financially infiltrated system that's not designed to with keeping people well as the first priority. It's designed to, you know, sustain itself, you know, financially is really the model. And it's unfortunate. And it's also unfortunate because there are very many wonderful doctors, nurses, and people in the field who are, you know, doing the best they can with what they have. But yeah, to your point, it's like all these diseases, the common denominator across the system, all these things we're talking about today, from performance to states of dis-ease, I mean, it's stress to the system. And then when you're talking about throwing food in there, that's causing more stress to the system, right? And, you know, inflammation and things like that, we're really pointing people in the wrong direction there. And we've had Dr. Paul Winterton and, you know, Real Ketones Chief Science Officer Gary Millett on here to talk about those things too. So it's definitely well heard on my end, I think. Very pertinent issue.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, another exciting development is long in development is that is the functional medicine resurgence of new education, influencing curricula of health professionals education. You know, the U.S. is a leader in most things, and Dr. Jeffrey Bland and Dr. Mark Hyman and all the people that are involved in the Institute of Functional Medicine and the development of the Institute of Personal Lifestyle Medicine and more organizations are influencing the re-education or the repurposing of practitioners. And they're reskilling and upskilling them into understanding how to work on a lifestyle level. So that's most certainly happening. It's super exciting. And it's what's driving a large amount of kind of medical and health career change across the world. So that's something that we're grabbing and taking advantage of with glee. You know, there's a huge amount of literature, and there's a huge amount of literature that explains where healthcare kind of lost its way. And this is just a back and forward fine tuning, you know, that Japanese principle of Kaizen, nothing really new is ever invented. It's just a repurposing and an improvement of what came before. And ketogenic lifestyle and ketosis is a perfect example of that. Because it's how cavemen lived, and it's how Cro-Magnon man lived. And now we're kind of reconnecting with that Paleolithic and or other, you know, way of being much more physically active, being outdoors, being grounded barefoot, and all the little bits and pieces that do make a difference. So yeah. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
As I mentioned earlier, the most exciting part of the keto diet is how the nutrition and health world has changed so drastically in the last 5 years. And as James said, the medical world is equivalently doing so and will do so in the next 5, 10, who knows, years, in an ideal world 1 year, to be so much more holistic and lifestyle based. And I really do agree with James that this is going to be the case.
This is audible.
Yeah, I very well said. I think that it's every time one of these waves crests, right? I think it makes people healthier in all aspects. And while they might not adopt like a strict ketogenic diet, and maybe that isn't even necessarily the best option for a lot of people, we talked offline about how, for example, people who are active and some athletes might need more protein. You know, you're getting people borrowing the key elements from that. So maybe they're not eating the exact, you know, they'll lower their carbs in general. They'll increase their healthy fats, and then they're just going to eat more ancestral foods. And so you're just getting people like the whole wave, regardless of what level or permutation of it people are adopting into their own lifestyle. It's you're seeing cascades of it being adopted and people getting healthier and more fit across the board, which I think is exciting.
No, Matt, that is, I mean, my organization now, I don't know if I can mention the web address.
Yeah.
It's my name. It's jamesroff.com. What we're offering our patients is a way of trying to determine what is your unique mix. And so it all begins with the one thing that's changed in recent time is that we live in a genomic age. So we are able to see where we differ and where the mix of what you require, the higher priorities, what that is. And then the actual work is not medical, as we've said. It's helping people access those ancient foods, helping people access lifestyle patterns that reflect what we once did and take us a little bit out of the office, out of the air conditioning, out of the bad light, poor airflow buildings and what have you, and get outside, get sunlight. What Simone and I are doing is practically taking people's hands and leading them to assets, to suppliers, to take them on visits of farmers who have soil regeneration projects and work with pasture-reared cattle and pastured chickens and eggs, and saying, these are the kinds of products and foods in your area that you should be connecting with, supporting, and using in your diet, and for these reasons. So that we're not just telling people what to do, we're showing them how to do it, and then leaving them with new patterns that they can sustain. And if we do that across the board, the holy grail of real human behavior change is making small changes across multiple levels. And that's why I think one of the main reasons for seeing profound results. One of the journeys we take people on is not to go smash down to zero your level of incoming carbohydrate and eat huge amounts of fat. It's about shifting away from a carbohydrate rich diet to a less carbohydrate reliant diet and to some more quality fats, and finding methods to do that. One of the products that is, like you said, it's just ubiquitously useful is something that helps the body experience what it's like to have ketones in the blood and to be able to use them as a primary fuel source. I mean, most people could feel that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think with what you said, you know, what you were talking about before, when you sort of waxed poetic on the performance and athletic fitness side of things, as well as the health and wellness, is really ketones, exogenous ketones being like a supplement superfood for those too, right? You have, you know, it's not only going to help decrease oxygen consumption, which is going to give you more endurance, regardless of whether you're an everyday person who is like a weekend warrior type or whether you are an athlete, you know, you're going to get benefit there. We know it's regenerative and helps optimize the nervous system and brain. So that's going to help with everything from cognitive fitness and, you know, neurological wellness and in the long term, all the way to, you know, supporting the neurological wiring that helps with muscle firing. If you're just in the gym, getting a, you know, a nice workout in, you know, and that's only really scratching the surface. So I find it all almost in a tip of the iceberg kind of way, very, very exciting. And now, so I want to be respectful of your time. I'd like to ask you guys one last thing. We basically today been talking almost in a bird's eye view about how ketosis, having, you know, the presence of ketones in your system, ancestral eating, things like this can help really change your life in a number of profound ways. I know that there are naturally going to be people at home saying, this all sounds great, and maybe I've heard of some of this. What should I do to get started? So maybe I could ask the same question to you, James, and then to you, Simone, as well. You know, where would you point most people if they just wanted to get started?
Different levels, you know. Some people might be staring chronic disease diagnosis in the face, and others might be sick and tired of carrying extra weight, and others might be just looking for a little edge on performance. So I think there are multiple ways to be able to commence the investigation, but the primary thing that needs to shift is understanding. You know, people need education. They need to know, what are you talking about, and what does this all mean? And I think that is evident in the fact that Simone and I spend 3 months intensively with a new client or patient. And the vast majority of that is helping them understand how to prioritize things in their life, helping them to understand why I ought to shift this pattern. What can I expect if I do that? And so I don't know. I think that there are intensive ways in which you can make change. And most certainly, I concede that what Simone and I do and what my organization does is the most intense version of that. So we're happy to take clients and patients on a very personalized journey over an intensive 12-week period, at which point we feel they will have learned so much, experienced new patterns, felt results, to be able to say, I can do this on my own. And then we can help them down the line in a less intense manner. But let's say right on the other end of the spectrum, some of the science that's come out of the studies done by the Real Ketones company themselves, the subjects, whatever they were asked to do in the methodology of the experiment, I think ended up only using a single serving, well, it's 2 scoops of the Real Ketones product in 8 ounces of water daily, and they all had benefits. So, I mean, there's something going to happen from just doing that. I know that Simone and I would say you probably need to try and find a priority. And for somebody who's staring a heart disease issue in the face, you shouldn't just start drinking ketones. But, you know, anything, human behavior change can begin wherever someone is prepared to change. And then change leads to change. So if you look at all the levels of lifestyle, all the choices you're making, the decisions you're making, and you make a small change, a tiny incremental change on each of those levels, it's going to count. It's going to add up. And one of those little things is drink a glass of a ketone salt every day and see what happens. I mean, my initial personal experience with the use of ketones had nothing to do with weight loss or energy. I mean, I hadn't yet tried to do anything physical after I drank the glass of a ketone salt. But I found in the hours straight after the consumption, my greatest feedback was a cognitive one. I just felt like my brain switched on, and I ended up reading journal articles late into the night, and I realized I had hardly eaten that day. So then I was like really intrigued. Something happened in my metabolism, and most certainly something happened in my concentration and mental endurance that day. So that was really interesting. I don't know if I answered your question there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think it was helpful for people who just kind of want to know, like, hey, like, you know, is where should I get started? And is there more than one answer? Right. Now, Simone, same question to you. You know, as a dietitian, do you have anything people could, you know, you recommend that people get started with, like, let's say if they walked into your practice?
So I think the most important thing with dietary changes and lifestyle changes is to take where you're at right now, where your patient's at right now, what they're eating, what they're doing, what they how much they're exercising, the energy levels, sleep, etc. And we call it micro optimization. So James refers to tiny changes, because to tell someone to go now learn about, teach them what every single carb is and what every single, like completely change their diet 360 is just not sustainable. So the best way to do it is just a small change. What we do as a, a small initial change often is to say, okay, let's look at your plate from your food diary and maybe just change one of those items to say a healthy fat, some avocado or some green veg with olive tapenade or whatever. Just change one of those items. And another small change we often recommend is just to increase the spacing between meals, and possibly if the person is willing to and it's possible for them, to start a fast, even if it's a very small fast, to extend the time they have breakfast and slowly start to do that, which really reaps benefits and is sustainable if you do it in that way. I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's helpful for people to be able to hear, like, hey, this, even if Rome wasn't built in a day, I can do this simple step or two to get me on that right path or that on ramp to the freeway. So yeah, I think that those simple tips really hold a lot of water, honestly. Now, okay, so again, I want to be respectful of your guys' time. So is there a place people can go if they want to learn more about your work, and also for people in South Africa who are interested in ketones? Do you guys have social media or website or anything like that?
Yeah, the best way to contact is probably via the website. It's myname.com. It's a little strange spelling, so it's jamesroff.com. JamesRaaf.com. And we could most certainly, very happy to have a no obligation chat to anybody who wanted to make some kind of change. We might be able to supply a service to do that ourselves, or we most certainly have a large network, a global network, where we could refer you to somebody and find somebody for you or with you that could help you. Or we could find you a real ketones outlet or a website where you could purchase some Prime D Plus and try it.
Absolutely. And then,
as James mentioned, we, even though we're in South Africa and he's in Dominican Republic right now, the reason he's in Dominican Republic is he's seeing patients there. So he travels a lot. About 50% of our patients are all over the world. So we have a lot of experience helping people that are not in South Africa, which is incredible. And with Real Ketones, we are just about to launch our Real Ketones South Africa webpage, which we're really excited about. And at the moment, you can just follow our Instagram page, Real Ketones South Africa. And there in South Africa, there's a link to where you can purchase it until that website's launched.
Awesome.
You know, Matt, I just want to say one last thing. The what Simone's alluding to, when it comes to making change in your life, incremental change, we found that some people don't really even want to meet you. So working, you know, the pandemic presented this opportunity to be able to work virtually in Zooms like this with a far greater number of people. And they obviously didn't have to be located in the same city we were. And then in terms of the clinical interaction, I mean, we build a relationship with them when we chat, but we're not in their face, and it doesn't require that they step into our practice, and that there's a degree of commitment in terms of a professional relationship to meet the clinician. And we're meeting virtually, and it's, I think it lowers the barriers to entry. What do you reckon, Simone?
Yeah, I think the pandemic has been a really interesting time to, as James mentioned, a lot of people, when it comes to themselves, naturally are close to certain things, where be it due to multiple reasons. And we found that consulting online does make it a little bit easier for people, because there's that kind of safety of their own home and feeling a little bit more comfortable. So it's been incredible in that way, as well as to be able to consult together a little bit more comfortably than, say, being two of us in a room with someone, which can be rather intimidating, depending obviously on the person. But yeah, so that's why we have so many patients overseas, all over the world.
Love it. Yeah, the idea of telehealth, I think, is great because it helps people, like you said, it eliminates barriers for entry. It makes people feel comfortable, and it's just super convenient. So that's great to know that you guys offer that too. I will absolutely post all this in the show notes. James, Simone, thank you guys so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having us, Matt.
Thanks, Matt. Great chatting.
I'm sure we'll do it again in the future. All right, everyone. Yeah. I had a ton of fun with this one. It really was an awesome bird's eye view on what ketosis and ketones can do for you guys. Be sure to check out Simone and James. Again, I will be posting all their information in the show notes. And I am excited to see you guys here next time on another episode of BHB Radio.